Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show, October 10th, News Radio 1070, WKOK, Sean Carey here. Steve will be there in a moment in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our email, stevejones at wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu, and subscribe to our free podcast. You can get it on either Google Play or Apple Podcasts. Search Steve Jones Show. Hit the subscribe button. Put the shows right in your smartphone and tablet. Take them along with you. Listen to them anytime, anywhere. And also, go back in time. We have at least 3 months' worth of archive shows on our homepage at stevejonesshow.com. So we're with you live till 5, and then Steve's back with us tonight, 6:05, with the Coach's Show featuring James Franklin from Primanti Brothers in downtown State College before the team and Steve leave on a jet plane for Iowa tomorrow, Saturday night primetime here on WKOK. Nittany Lions and the Hawkeyes pregame at 6 and the kickoff just after 7:30 with Steve, Jack, Matt, and Roger. We got a jam-packed show today. We've got our high school football roundtable in about a half an hour, less than that actually, with Greg Wetzel. He will preview Lewisburg, Jersey Shore. Zach Showers with Sewells Grove Central Mountain at Seals homecoming tomorrow night. By the way, it's also Lewisburg homecoming tomorrow night for the Green Dragons at Christie with Greg and Justin Michaels on the call. And Shikellamy Holy Redeemer from Berwick tomorrow night here on WKOK. Get a preview of that game with the Chief, Dave Ritchie. Big news out of Philadelphia this morning. Gabe Kapler fired after two seasons. Record of 161-163. Joe Giglio, the terrific Phillies postgame show host on the flagship Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philly, also writes for NJ.com. Get his take on Gabe's firing. And also, he did a write-up on NJ.com, some managerial suggestions that the Phillies should take into consideration. So we'll talk to Joe about that live at 4:06. And Steve's brother, Kevin, KJ Kevin Jones, a.k.a. the King, a.k.a. the most interesting man on the entire East Coast, be with us at 4:35 with his pro and college football picks. We've got some tasty college games coming up this weekend. So we'll finish out the show with the King at 4:35.
Cam Miller is going to join us tomorrow. Cam Miller from Pro Football Focus, so we'll go through all the grades. And also tomorrow, Mark Morehouse from the Gazette in Iowa City, who covers the team. Get a read on the game from him. Gabe, gone. This is not one of those moves that I think you're going to find a lot of criticism. How about that? You know what's interesting about Gabe Kapler? He is one of the few guys I've ever seen that lost a fan base in the first game he managed and never got him back. When he took out Aaron Nola after 68 pitches down in Atlanta to start the 2018 season, you had people look at him in Philadelphia like, well, what are you doing? And I think he lost the confidence of the fan base in one game. Yeah, I don't know what you think. You're a big Phillies fan.
You're right. I mean, I think there's a huge section of fans that, maybe some would think outside looking in, just give this guy a fair shake. It's only one game out of 162. But But yeah, it just the just the analytical bent that he would use going into each and every game. I just think that it just kind of rubbed a huge facet of Phillies fans the wrong way. It's interesting though. Earlier this week, you know, Jay Gruden was let go as head coach of the Washington Redskins. You had a lot of players step up and say, "Well, it's our fault. We, you know, if we would have played better, you know, he wouldn't have lost his job." I just wonder here in the not too distant future how many Phillies players are going to step up. Now, they're not in the locker room every day, day in, day out, talking to the beat writers, so this may not happen because of that, because players are spread out all over the place. But I just wonder how many players are going to step up and say, "You know, it's our fault. We should have played better for Gabe." But that's one way to look at it. Another way you could look at it is, there, and Greg and I were just talking about this before we cranked up the show, there are a lot of games where they played down to their competition. Case in point, the Marlins. How many games did they lose against Miami that really hurt them in the divisional race? And that falls on Gabe to get those guys prepared to play. Doesn't matter how many guys you have injured on the IL.
Well, that sounded bitter.
I thought it was rather concise. I don't know about being Greg, did I sound bitter?
This sounds so bitter.
No. Was I bitter?
I mean, I feel like I'm in the back corner office again.
Am I taking over the nickname of Captain Bitter on the show? What?
It's bitter.
What?
It sounds like a Shikolemi postgame show.
I cover all angles on the local games on my postgame show. I'll let it be known. It's not just Shikolemi.
I wasn't talking about your portion of the postgame show. I was talking about the on-site, while Dave Ritchie is the voice of reason, we all know who's flying off the handle.
So there's a couple of different ways to look at it with Gabe getting let go. I mean, which one, yeah, you throw the wad and you throw it to the wall, which one sticks? Or is it maybe a combination of both?
I think when you come in, first of all, you'll notice that when coaching changes or managerial changes are made, 8 times out of 10, it's somebody that is different stylistically than the person they're replacing. The first person happened to be a disciplinarian. Well, we need a looser locker room or clubhouse. Or it was a looser feel from the head coach. We need more of a disciplinarian. You've been seeing a heavy dose of, like, the Joe Girardi let go by the Yankees. Not a big believer, at least the assumption was, on analytics. Aaron Boone, I absolutely believe in analytics, gets the job. Well, Gabe Kapler was brought in because he brought that philosophy with him. I'm wondering if they're going to go the opposite way and go with, for example, Buck Showalter as an example. Because you usually go the opposite. Let me take this show. Efficient, intelligent. Well, we made that change to you.
You're very kind, but maybe there's someone out there that can have the right mix of old school, the right mix of analytics, and you also blend in a fire and passion for the organization. Or is that too much to ask for?
Well, I think, you know, what's interesting, and I'm not going to criticize Gabe Kapler for this part. You have people being critical of him being too positive about the players. Actually, I like that. If I'm talking about, if I'm the organization, it's not his job to go out and cut the players down in public. At least I don't think so. Now, in private, if you want to sit down in private and say, look, you got to work on this, 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 and this, but you don't go public with it. That's just my opinion. If he's too positive about the team, right. Sometimes you're just trying to maintain that. I have no problem with that. No problem with that. We'll leave all the negativity for the radio play-by-play guy. Come on there. I should be going for it.
I mean,
it's 4th and 23, Kev. How do I go?
Get out there and punt. punt.
Wetzel's laughing over the
other. Oh, yeah. So is the chief. I mean,
Chief's over there. Oh, I got to live with it.
I mean, you can be positive to an extent. I mean, you can be also positive you really sugarcoated where it's all, you know, rainbows and lollipops. But I think you can be positive without being that positive, right?
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense. I'm just saying that was one of the criticisms of him. I just don't think in an organization. For example, if there's a press conference held outside the radio station every single night, are you going to walk out there every single night and go, well, Steve was way off today? And that's going to draw a better performance? You know what I mean? Now, you're right. Not everything's rainbows. I mean, the only rainbows this show ever really gets is when we do the high school football roundtable, when we get the three we have today. But
yeah.
You know, but they kind of carry it. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of carrying, Chief carried into the studio an awesome towel that he got at the Navy Air Force game. It has Go Navy on one side, Beat Air Force on the other side. I'll have to screen grab this and send it to you. Really cool.
Because we have a towel that says Go Suit, and the other flip side says Go Suit Light. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Are you terrified by your old ride? Don't fear. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Treat yourself to a nicer, newer ride from SFC. Choose from 12 2019 Hyundai Tucson's with $4,000 off, starting at $22,369. There's 17 Hyundai Konas in stock, starting at only $20,352. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has brand new Sonatas starting under $19,000. Plus, hurry in. There's 4 Hyundai Palisades in stock. And every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty.
10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
And Hyundai Assurance. Don't be terrified by your old ride. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
High school roundtable picks. A lot going on the show today. And looking forward to it very much. And also, Joe Giglio is going to join us today to talk about the Gabe Kapler move. One area of baseball, and we saw this play out last night in some ways, is that I've never seen a sport, especially in the last 10 years, more dependent on career years. And when I talk about being more dependent on career years, I am talking about career years out of your bullpen guys. To me, that has been the key to victory for everybody across the board. I'll give you a good example. Joe Kelly, last 2.5 months of the season last year for the Red Sox, the best he's ever pitched in Boston, ever. They let him go in the offseason. The Dodgers picked him up. ERA was in the mid-4s, and then he gave up the grand slam last night. I feel like a lot of these relievers catch lightning in a bottle for a short period of time. I'm not talking about the closers. I'm not talking about the starters. It's those middle relief guys that you pick up that catch lightning in a bottle for you, and they put you over the top. The ability to do it year after year after year, limited. Very limited. And that's why, you know, that's and the Phillies don't have that. They did not have that, you know, they did not catch lightning in a bottle there. As one example. There are other examples too, but that's one example right there of not catching lightning in a bottle. And it does tie your hands as a manager as to how you want to conduct the game and how you want to go about it. I am a firm believer that analytics are a tremendous tool, but if you're going to manage or make decisions solely on analytics, just like if you're going to make decisions solely on instinct, you're going to be in trouble. And you need to have a combination of it. Some analytics to support what you're thinking, why you're thinking it, how you're going about your business. And you also need to have a little bit of instinct every once in a while where your gut just tells you, you know, we got to do something now. And Gabe Kapler did not give you that impression that that's how he managed. That he managed one way only. But again, he lost his fan base. I've never seen a manager lose his fan base in one game. In the seventh inning of his first game as the manager, he lost his fan base. I mean, I find that to be remarkable. He never got their confidence back. Last year, are they really going to retain him? All right, fine. Hey, we got Harper. But they never regained, as a manager, you did not have people going, hey, you know, I mean, really, Gabe's doing a great job. No, you didn't have anybody saying that. That's the remarkable thing. You didn't have people saying that. Just a thought. High school roundtable after a scheduling situation that looked like we were watching lawn tennis at Wimbledon, back, forth, back, forth. It's actually going to be Shikellamie against Holy Redeemer in Berwick, and Southern Columbia will take on Wyoming area. I never saw anything like that in my life. We're going to play him. Everybody agrees. No, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. Who makes these decisions? Sean? Who makes these decisions?
It's crazy. And also something we haven't brought up in high school news that occurred earlier this week. Bloomsburg High, the school board, decided to part ways with their football coach. That's very strange for that to happen with three games remaining in the regular season. And also at the same time, parting ways with their wrestling coach. So a little shake up there in Bloomsburg.
Any clue as to why? Any clues is you know, is it something coaching, not doing it?
There are some people already out there, oh, man, there's supposed to be another Danville situation that's going on in Bloom. Like, whether that's the case or not, hasn't been any, you know, in-depth investigation that's been released in regards to that move or not. No one from the school board has come forward to say anything at this point.
Interesting.
Of course, that was Bloomsburg was involved in the Lewisburg game a couple weeks ago at Seawinds Grove, where they had the double 2+ hour lightning delay of the Saturday night game that ended close to midnight.
Right. Well, you can't help that.
No, you can't.
All right. Richie, Wetzel, Showers. Preview coming up next half hour. Great to have you with us. Joe Giglio on the Gabe Kapler firing at 4:06. The King steps in with picks at 4:35. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here's the text of the day.
From?
Let you know in a second.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Just slow down.
Okay. Hit the brakes. Sorry.
You do know it's football season. Enough baseball. You know, when your hecklers are happens to be Jack Ham.
Hammer from way downtown. Look out.
Yeah, now the Chief's all nervous that Hammer's listening. All right, so that's what, now we know why Guess Who won't do the show.
Oh.
I mean, let's face it. Doing this segment, it's like the playoffs in baseball. I think the suit is the Clayton Kershaw play-by-play.
Actually, you said that right before he put on the headset, so that's, there you go. That'll be between us. He can catch that part on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Wetzel's
over
there.
Since he's the digital guy.
Yeah.
You know,
so. So we'll start out with Shikalimi at Holy Redeemer. Okay, Dave, we're sure it's Holy Redeemer, right?
Yeah, there sure has been a lot of controversy about a Central Pennsylvania high school football game, hasn't there? So it's almost like we should be on the have the Hollywood reporters doing these things instead of our sports people. So,
well, the controversy doesn't deal with anything except the people at the top.
Exactly.
Everybody else agreed to it. I mean, come on. Take your head out of the sand.
Thank goodness the superintendent at Shikalimi, and a very intelligent man, decided, well, why don't we submit the proper paperwork? Maybe that'll get things going, and it did. So that was kudos off to our superintendent.
Yeah, okay. At least somebody stepped up, showed some leadership.
Yes.
All right. That's good. I don't know any of these people, so it's like, well, yeah. Fine. Write a letter. We'll file it.
I do, so I better watch myself.
Yeah, I don't. Don't have any really. I think you ought to remove him from the air. Like, hey, here we go. We own a shredder. All right, so. All right, so let's get to Shikalimi Holy Redeemer. This is not what you thought it was going to be. So when you're putting together maybe some preseason thoughts, it was not going to be on your radar. So in a short period of time, maybe like 2 weeks, because you knew it was a possibility for a couple weeks. You know, what have you learned about Holy Redeemer?
I don't know a whole lot about the team except the fact that their head coach is a Berwick graduate, graduated about 10 years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
He picked up the job on August 1st, and he has 27 players on his team. So he's in a situation where, you know, he had to put in all of his system work and with a bunch of probably student-athletes that he did not know a lot about. And therefore, their program has not been doing well the last several years, and they're 0-5 this year so far. So I'm not exactly sure. Zero. Well, Kevin just said 0-6.
Seven guys both ways.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got one more thing. Seven of those 27 players play offense and defense. So they get a couple going both ways.
That's impressive. It's only seven.
Hey, Sean? Sean, can I ask you something for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
How big is our budget?
Well, that's why I'm on this end of the building.
I was just wondering. I mean, could we get a lock for that door? I just want to. I mean, you know, I don't want to be on the segment, but I'm an interloper. I mean, I just don't quite get it. Okay. So you guys have to prepare for something like this. But, Dave, let's get to the coaching part of it. You're now going to. I realize in playoff games this does come into play, but it doesn't usually come into play in the regular season. So. What does that mean for a coach to prepare for something they weren't sure they were going to have?
Well, I believe that the family of coaches nowadays, if they get in a situation like this, they'll exchange the games. And I'm sure that Todd Tilford has probably seen just about every game that Holy Redeemer's played, and the same thing with the coach from Holy Redeemer. And that years ago, you know, you tried to keep everything secret, but that just doesn't happen anymore. And you just have to do that. And I know that both staffs will cooperate. So they probably know as much about each other as if they had personally sent some people to watch each team play. And that's just the benefits of the technology of today.
Right. And it makes a huge difference, technology does, to get ready for something like that. Let's talk about Shikalimi's level of play. This is obviously a different ball game. You would have different thoughts if they were playing Southern Columbia. I mean, because that is something where every single play for 3 hours would have to go right. That's not the case. That's not the case here. So Shikalemi's level of play going in your opinion, is?
I think they're going to play at the top end like they did against Central Mountain. I do.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it, they're high school kids. They're looking at a team that has a record that's not as good as theirs. And they also have heard so much about, you know, that they're struggling. So you go in with a little bit more confidence. They're not going to, you can't make mistakes. And that's probably something that I'm sure the coaches have drilled into them all week long, that, you know, you're going to have to play your best game if you want to beat this team, because they're certainly doing the same thing on the other end at Holy Redeemer. And I think you'll see the kids are psychologically are going to be up. I just hope they get over this. I just talked to Greg about all the personal fouls that Shikalemi committed against Lewisburg last week, and that's something that happened last year, and it did not take place this year, and in one game it reappeared, and that's something that the coaches have to handle and take care of too.
No question about it. And I think the other part too is I think you need to get up early. You need to play with the lead.
Yes, exactly.
Because right now, I don't care what Holy Redeemer's record is. Shikalemi's record is not very good. They need confidence.
Exactly. And our kids seemed, you know, when I watched them play against Central Mountain 2 weeks ago, they didn't look like a team that had not won a football game, and they played that way. So I'm believing that that'll happen again this week.
I will get to you back to you at the end if you don't mind, Dave.
Sure, that's fine.
I wanted to get into your Navy Air Force experience.
Sure, we'll do. I'm here.
Great. Let's bring Zach Showers in. Central Mountain will take on Selins Grove. Zach, Dave just talked about 2 weeks ago the game that Shikalemi beat Central Mountain. So let's talk about the Seals right now. What's Selins Grove's level of play? Are they better this week than the week before, better than the week before? Where are they?
Yeah, I think first and foremost defensively, they keep just playing better and better every week. Last week against Shamokin, they had their first shutout of the season in almost a year, forced four turnovers, had four sacks, six tackles for a loss. So defensively, there's a lot of confidence right now that they're going to make plays regardless of who they're going against, if that's in the passing game or running game. Offensively, they're, like we've talked about, I think every week this season, they're still up and down. Last week against Shamokin, they really struggled in the first half. It was just one of those, to put it nicely, it wasn't a real good half of football to watch on either side. A lot of sloppiness, a lot of turnovers. But then in the second half, they actually came out. They made some big plays in the passing game. They only completed four passes, but one of those was a 70-yard touchdown to Josh Nyland. And as the game went on, they were actually able to establish the running game a little bit more with going just a little bit more straight ahead. Not a lot of tosses and stretch plays, but really just establishing that running game. And we also saw Danny Schock, the quarterback, after he had a sack and a tackle for a loss on his first two carries, ended up responding with 70 yards rushing on his final seven carries. So there's a lot of, I think there's some positives in getting the running game involved with the quarterback as well. I think right now, Seals Nation is hoping that can translate well the next couple weeks.
Okay. Normally when you're playing terrific defense, it has the ability to set up a shorter field for the offense. Is that happening?
Yeah, actually it is. I spent some time this week taking a look at Selins Grove scoring drives. And of their 18 scoring drives, five of them have actually begun inside the opponent's 20-yard line. And three more of them actually started between the 21 and the 50-yard line. So there's been a bit of a positive effect of that. And that's happened defensively. It's also happened with special teams. Selins Grove's punter, Wyatt Metzger, is averaging close to 40 yards a punt. He had a 68-yard punt last week. And seems like every week he's putting two or three punts inside the 20. And I think has had over a 50-yard punt probably five or six times this season. So it's definitely helped with field position, because as a whole, this team hasn't shown the ability to really drive the length of the field a ton. So being able to set that up has definitely been an important factor, especially the last two or three weeks here.
And your thoughts on what's important against Central Mountain?
I mean, they've struggled. They're coming into the game 0-7. I think it's an opportunity for Stalens Grove to just continue to improve. They have a passing game that's thrown for over 1,000 yards with three consistent wide receivers that each have over 20 catches. So I look at it with Stalens Grove's 3-5 defense. You know, they're not a team that's going to go out and go nickel, but they are a team that can create a lot of pressure. So I think defensively, it's shutting that passing game down with pressure. Offensively, they've given up well over 200 yards a game, and they've given up over 300 yards a couple times this season. So it's an opportunity for Stalens Grove to be able to establish the running game and hopefully gain some confidence with some shots downfield. So obviously, you expect Stalens Grove to run away with this one. So you hope the team's in just a good mental place that they can come out and work on some things and get some confidence.
Zach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, Greg, good to have you with us as always in studio with us every week. Jersey Shore, Lewisburg. All right, level of play. You know, you have to adjust because you don't have the big gun in the backfield anymore. What did you think of their adjustments?
You know what? They finally got Ethan Spalding involved in a game who's probably been the best athlete in their team the last two or three years. And he's done a really good job defensively for them and offensively. Last week, Schick has a 6'4 wide receiver, 200-pound wide receiver. They just put Ethan Spalding on him man-for-man. He didn't have a reception the whole night. So he has really stepped up and has done a great job, and so has senior quarterback Nick Shedleski, who the last two games has completed over 65% of his passes and thrown four touchdown passes. So the seniors are taking control of the team and leading the team on right now, and they're doing a really nice job.
Obviously, confidence is built game by game, and also you're a play away from not having it, but right. You feel like they're playing with a lot more confidence right now.
I really do, because everyone now is getting involved in the game. You know, they're not depending. Their offense doesn't run around Max Moyers anymore. You know, they could sit back and say, okay, well, Max is going to get us 5-6 yards a carry. That's not the case anymore. And everybody is stepping up, and just you can tell their level of play has picked up, and everybody's doing a really nice job. Defensively, they have picked up also. So they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. They're going to need to play with a lot of confidence because the last three teams they play all have winning records, which is not the case for the beginning of the year. So they need to have that confidence going into the last three games of the season.
Which is interesting. But you know what? I always have a theory at some point you have to be ready for something.
That's right.
So I feel like, and I think at some point you got to find out who you are. Is this about the time we start finding out who they are?
It is, and because right now they're going to play a team in Jersey Shore who has physically beaten them the last 3 years. But
right.
Jersey Shore is not that physical team that we've seen in the past. They're running a spread offense. They're relying on their quarterback, Tanner Lorson, who's thrown for over 1,400 yards. He has 15 touchdown passes, and he also leads the team in rushing. So, and I think he's rushed for 8 touchdowns, if my memory serves me correct. So they know they have to be sharp defensively against this team, and they know they can move the ball. They have the confidence now that they can move the ball against anyone, because last week against Schick-Glimmie, they put up close to 400 yards of offense, and they didn't have their main running back on the field the whole game. So they feel confident about that. Their defense, they're starting to feel better who they are defensively, and I think they're really looking forward to this game tomorrow night.
All right, so the keys, is it going to be up front? I mean, about the ability to match up front with these guys?
I think the key to the game is going to be Lewisburg's defensive line against Jersey Shore's offensive line. If they can put pressure on Tanner Lorson, he's a different quarterback, and you know that. You're a different quarterback if you have somebody chasing you down or in your face, and I think that's going to be the key to the ball game.
Yeah, and I'm about to witness that firsthand on Saturday night.
I hope you do.
if Stanley has time, he's really good. If he doesn't have time, he's the first one to know he's not good at it.
That's exactly right.
All right, Dave, I wanted to bring Dave Ritchie back in. Dave did not do last week's game between Shikellamy in Lewisburg, but he was at the Navy Air Force game. Dave, what kind of experience was it to see, it's not Army-Navy, but to still see two service academies play each other?
Well, anytime you go to an academy to watch a football game, even if they're not playing each other, just the history behind their programs and also the amount of participation that you see between, in this case, the midshipmen and the rest of the fans is worth the price of admission itself. I mean, you know, two F-18s fly over before the game. You see 4,000 midshipmen march in and then properly put themselves off the field into the seats, and then five Navy skydivers come out from 10,000 feet, and one with the American flag, the other with the Navy flag, and they proceed to land right in the 50-yard line of that of the stadium. So that in itself is I hate to use the phrase, but worth the price of admission. And the other thing is the camaraderie between the two teams. When they're playing football, they are, I mean, they're diehard, you know, I guess we use the word enemies. But, you know, after the game and before the game, there's a lot of sportsmanship. And, you know, they know they're all participating in programs that are protecting our country. And they're brothers in arms. So if you haven't got a chance to go to West Point or went down to Annapolis, or if you get a chance to go to Baltimore or Philadelphia to see the Army-Navy game, you should put that on your bucket list.
Yeah. And it's interesting, many years, the late Walter Barr, who played in the 1950 World Cup soccer team, he assisted on the goal that beat England 1-0, coached here forever at Penn State in soccer, always told me whenever they played a service academy, he says, we always have to keep in mind, he says, that we're playing a game. They're playing something bigger than we are.
Exactly.
They're preparing for something completely different compared to what we are.
Steve, if I could add the way that game ended, Navy went 75 yards with 2 minutes on the clock, and they run the option. And their quarterback's 150 pounds soaking wet. And he went the last 10 yards and scored. And it gave Air Force a chance to come back and maybe kick a field goal. But on fourth and 20 with 1 second left, they threw a pass to the flanker, and he tried to come back, and they tackled him. The ball came loose, and the Navy defensive man picked it up and went in to score another touchdown. Immediately, there was celebration from the players. Then the flags from the officials went up. But they were completely surrounded by 4,000 white midshipmen, the white uniform midshipmen, and from the 50-yard line down to the end zone. And you just can't explain that unless you see it in person. It was just awesome. And after the game, they went, they did the Air Force alma mater, and then everybody went over and did the Navy alma mater, which was, again, great. And, you know, nobody left. There was 35,000 people there at the beginning of the game. There were 35,000 people there at the end of the game.
That's remarkable. Dave, great story. Appreciate the perspective very much.
And I did see Beano Cook's away schedule that you told me about last week.
Oh, you saw that?
Week.
I told you about that? Yeah.
Yes, I did. That's a great story.
I hope it gave you a laugh.
It meant more to me actually seeing that and then what he said. So thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. Sean, did we get a lock for that door?
Working on it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm only thinking of the ratings. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.